Good morning. Welcome to Faith United Methodist Church podcast. How different that is. We live in a different time. I miss each one of you. I wish I could see you face to face. I wish we're meeting in our beautiful sanctuary. But this church is not limited to a building. I've heard of many great acts of kindness on Easter, of food being given to people. I'm glad we were able to greet some of you outside of your windows on Easter. I'm making phone calls, trying to reach all of you that way. And every one of you will get a phone call from me. I've sent cards to everyone in the congregation. And I'll continue doing that because I want to keep in touch with you. But I want to commend you for keeping in touch with each other. You're wonderful people. You're really a family. And thanks again also for your faithfulness and continuing to give to our church during these difficult times. Today we're going to begin with this prayer, and let us pray this together as our opening prayer, or at least you listen to me. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been born into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Today we're going to be in the 9th chapter of John, the story of a man born blind, and how the people of his day reacted to this wonderful miracle of him receiving his sight. And then we'll ask ourselves, how would we react to God's miracles today? Would we recognize them? The story begins, the narrative, with Jesus and his disciples walking through town. And there's a blind man who's sitting by the roadside, begging for alms, crying out for charitable giving. Now, the disciples, being devout Jews and being righteous, would have given money to this man. It was their duty, their responsibility to help the poor. But as they did this, they asked Jesus this question, beginning in John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" A man born blind during Jesus' day was not just considered disabled, vision impaired, or even unlucky. He was looked at as being someone punished by God. The disciples assumed that illness and disease were somehow punishments assessed by God and leveled against families and individuals because of their sin. During this COVID-19 pandemic, I have seen articles and heard statements of religious leaders saying this somehow this plague, this virus, this horrible thing that's taking thousands of lives is somehow a punishment from God. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that answer to why death and sin and plagues and pandemics happen in our lives is that we are part of a fallen world broken by sin, sin which causes death and disease and all the evils we face. And in Romans chapter 8, 19 through 23, Paul writes this, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." There is something desperately wrong with our world. that's affected individuals, the human race, who has a bent to sinning, to acting selfishly rather than unselfishly, to hurting rather than helping each other. And even nature has been affected by this pandemic of sin. And that is where I believe emanates the disease, the death, the suffering that we face. So Jesus answered his disciples, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." God has a wonderful knack for taking things that are hard, difficult, even heartbreaking, and bringing good out of them. And I believe with this COVID-19 pandemic, with all the social distancing and all the disruption in our economy and our lives, that God in His wisdom will bring something good out of all of this. Jesus goes on to say, "We must work for the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he put the mud on the man's eyes and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Jesus does not bother to get into a theological discussion with his disciples, but he moves to bring healing to this man in his desperate need. Jesus sees not the need, not the time for discussion, but the time for action. The time to do something. And he does it. And in so doing, he brings glory to the Father who sent him. Now this man was obedient and did what Jesus told him to do. But think about the man. He's a blind beggar. And somebody comes up, bends over, makes some mud in his hands, and puts it on the man's eyes. And then tells him to go wash it off. I wonder how the man felt. What was his first reaction? Was he hopeful? Was he irritated? Was he angry? Did he feel insulted? Whatever his thoughts were, he had to get the mud off his eyes anyway, so he went to the pool of Siloam, and he washed as he was told. Can you imagine his great surprise when after he got this mud off his eyes, he could see clearly? His life was turned upside down. Well, the next group of people we encounter are his neighbors. Now, we've all had very good neighbors, and occasionally we've had some not so good neighbors. But these neighbors were baffled by what had happened and were looking for an explanation. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Well, some said, "Yeah, he's the guy." Others said, No, he's not the guy, but he looks like the guy." Well, the man kept interrupting them and telling them, "I'm the man. I was the once blind beggar." So here we have three responses to this miracle. The first is surprise. We're always surprised by a miracle. "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" He can see now, but he couldn't before. So what happened? Is this really the blind beggar we have always known? If so, how can he see? God is a God of surprise. And when he does things that we do not expect, that we don't have answers for, we are all amazed. and sometimes even confused. Well, the next response was sure. Yeah, it's him. Look, he's just like he's always looked, except he can see. And we still don't know how or why, but it's definitely the man. Then the skeptic. The skeptic will come up with the most unbelievable explanation to try and describe and explain the unexplainable. Others said, no, this is not him, but he looks like him. This is not him, but he looks like him. As if this man is disguising himself as what the blind beggar once looked like. As this mistaken identity. It's hard to mistake a man that used to be a blind beggar. It's pretty hard to mistake him for somebody else. But in their thinking, it can't be the blind beggar because he is not blind. So by the very definition, he can't be the one who was born blind. Because blind men can't be made to see. Now I can imagine the man in his frustration kept interrupting them. I'm the man. I'm the one who used to beg. I can now see. I am the formerly blind beggar. So, because he insisted he was the man, they asked him the question. Then how were your eyes open? How did it happen? How did you have your eyes opened if you were really blind in the first place? There were some people that genuinely wanted to know what had happened. And there's others who were trying to prove this man a fraud. So what do? When you're confronted with something that is mysterious, miraculous, unexplainable in your own life, do you embrace it and give thanks to God for what He has done, even if you don't understand it? Do you question it as being real? I can't believe this happened. Well, if you've asked God for something and prayed for it, why can't you believe He would answer your prayer? Or do you look for other reasons other than God to explain what happened? Maybe it was just luck. Maybe there was a change of diet that healed this person. Maybe there was a great medicine that they took. They had great effect. Maybe they had excellent doctors. Or simply, maybe it was a misdiagnosis and they weren't really that ill to begin with. The doctors thought they had cancer, but the person didn't. Can we accept mystery? Can we accept that God does things we can't understand? And can we believe He's a healer and does miracles? Then Jesus became the center of the controversy. So the man said, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." Very simple but beautiful and powerful testimony. Jesus put mud on my eyes. I went, I washed, and I received my sight. No big explanation. This is simply what happened. Well, the people said to him, "Well, where is he?" The man said, "I don't know." Well, when Jesus put the mud on his eyes, the man was blind. So how could the man even know what Jesus looked like, much less know where Jesus was? So they brought the man to the Pharisees, that the man who had formerly been blind, because it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes. Jesus does a miracle on the Sabbath day, but the Sabbath was surrounded by a raft of ceremonial laws, rules as to what composed of work and what didn't. And the ceremonial laws define the difference between those who were righteous and those who were unrighteous. It did not matter there was a miracle that happened. It only mattered it broke the ceremonial laws. And it was very important that these laws were set down by the Pharisees. They determined who was in and who was out of the kingdom of God, who could worship at the synagogue and who would be barred. So they took this man and they brought him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees began to interrogate him. It's almost like a courtroom where the prosecuting attorney is examining a witness. So the Pharisees asked him again how he'd received his sight. The man told the story. He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Truth is very consistent. It's usually very simple. No frills, no embellishment. The man told the same story every time he was asked. Jesus put mud on my eyes, I washed, and I see. Well, the Pharisees couldn't accept the simple truth. Some said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Didn't fit their definition of a righteous man. Others said, "Well, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. The debate about keeping religious laws versus a real bona fide miracle continued between them. What demonstrates righteousness and the power of God? The ability to keep a law or the ability to do a miracle? So the man was not only in trial, but Jesus was on trial. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" Simple. He's a prophet. He's somebody sent from God. Somebody empowered by God. Well, they couldn't accept the simple truth. They did not believe that this man had been born blind and had received his sight. They could not believe this miracle because it did not fit into the box they had put God in. So they called his parents and said, "Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he see?" Well, they were hoping to use intimidation and to bully the parents into denying that this was their son. "Well, he kind of looks like our son, but we're not sure," as the neighbors would say. Or deny there was ever a miracle. "Well, yeah, this is our son, but he really wasn't born blind. So there was no healing." His parents were truthful, however. "We know this is our son, that he was born blind, but how he sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes." They knew the story, and so did the Pharisees. They told the truth, but they distanced themselves from the miracle. They could not deny that was their son. They could not deny he was born blind, but they could deny any knowledge of how he gained his sight. They go on to say, "Ask him. He is old enough. He will speak for himself." See, they feared the Jews, Scripture says. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. That's why the parents said, "Ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself." Fear is a very powerful motivator. They did not embrace their son because of fear. They did not celebrate a miracle because of fear. They did not witness the power and the goodness of God because of fear. They did not want to be isolated, ostracized, excommunicated, tossed out of the synagogue by the religious leaders. They feared men and their opinion of them more than they feared God. For a second time, they called a man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God! We know that this man is a sinner." They could not admit Jesus was a man of God without losing their power, status, and place. So they slandered his character, denied his power, called him a fraud and a liar, because Jesus claimed to be sent from God, and furthermore, he claimed to be God. The man answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. Only thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." The man does not get in a theological debate on who is a sinner and who is not. He states the truth again in very simple terms. "I was blind, now I see." Didn't embellish his story. Every time he's told it, it has been the same simple story. "I was blind, and now I see." They ask him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He said, "I've told you already, you would not listen." The truth is, they knew what had happened. But they were trying to make him change his story because they didn't like the truth they heard. They refused to spiritually see what Jesus had done or to spiritually hear what God was trying to say to them. "Why do you want to hear it again?" the man asked. "Do you also want to become his disciple?" Now, what this reveals is that something has happened to the man during this process. He moved from being a blind beggar who did not know who Jesus was to experiencing a miracle that he really didn't understand, but was convinced was done by a man who was a prophet, who was someone from God, whom not only did he want to know, he wanted to follow him and be his disciple, to be like Jesus. Well, this upset the Pharisees to no end. "You are his disciple," they shouted, "but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." They were so indignant. They were so offended. But the man holds his ground. He says, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." The man told the simple truth. He told what he knew, which was a spiritual insight the Pharisees lacked with all their knowledge. This man knew how God works, and he knew who Jesus was. Now, his great sin was he actually taught the teachers. And they were enraged. "You were born in your sin utterly. Would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Again, they had heard the truth repeatedly. They couldn't stand it. Didn't fit their view of God. Didn't fit their view of reality. So they threw the man out. Jesus heard that they had cast the man out, and he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered him, "Who is he, sir, so that I may believe in him?" What an open and wonderful heart. "Who is he, sir? Who is the Son of Man?" And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. When your heart is committed to Jesus, you worship him. When he is truly your Lord, you worship him. The man could only see Jesus and what he had done for him. He didn't care that the religious leaders rejected him. He didn't care that his parents disowned him. Didn't care that his neighbors thought he was a fraud. All he knew was Jesus was his Lord and he was worthy of worship. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees nearby heard him say these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." A blind spot by nature is something we don't know that we have. So I'm always telling people who are close to me, let me know where my blind spot is because I can't see it. So what is your spiritual blind spot? Do you see that God is at work in your life? Or does life kind of go along and when good things happen, you feel like you're lucky? And bad things happen? Just unlucky. Do you see that Jesus is more than just a good man, a good teacher, a good example? Do you worship him? Do you follow him as your Lord and Master? Do you see where there needs to be change in your life? Not just in the life of people who irritate you, but you need to change your thinking, your words, your actions, to be the person Jesus wants you to be? Do you and I see past our own self-righteousness and see that we desperately need Jesus every day of our lives? May God open our spiritual eyes so that we may see. Let us close with a prayer written by St. Francis of Assisi. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is giving in giving that we truly receive. It is in pardoning others that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. May it be so with you and with me. Amen."